Balotelli, Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again.
Gavin keeps it. Skill on goal. Look at that pass. Haydock! Goal! Columbus!
There are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross and Dempsey's denied again. But Donovan has scored. Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
This is the beautiful game.
Oh, it's incredible!
Described by two uglies.
Stupendous!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
This is a thing of genius.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Lots to get into today, given that we had a World Cup draw, and we know now not the destiny, but we know the schedule. Not just who they're going to play, but when they're going to play. The U.S. men's national team heading back to the World Cup in 2022. What a great weekend it's been for soccer in that regard, Beamer. Not so great for the crew. We will talk about that as well. And we'll find out where the crew, FC Cincinnati, and many other teams stack up in the world rankings of club teams, which I always think is an interesting thing to check out every year.
Didn't even know that existed until I was looking it up this morning.
Mm, it's a good thing.
By the way, it's a new soccer podcasting day because we're doing this on Monday.
Yeah, we're recording it early because there's things going on Thursday. I'm not going to be able to get in here and record early on Thursday. But I also thought the World Cup draw is like the big thing that we're going to talk about. And the crew played over the weekend and that was going to be a big thing we were going to talk about, and then they didn't play well, so maybe less of a thing we'll talk about.
I was there in mind and body. My spirit was somewhere else.
Yeah. I was there definitely in all of those aspects, but it doesn't look like the crew were there in spirit for a large stretch of that game, but we'll get there. We'll start off with the World Cup draw. So we obviously know the group the U.S. are in. It is Group B. They drew into a group featuring England, Iran, and the winner of a playoff between Wales, Ukraine, or Scotland. Now, Ukraine and Scotland play each other, I think. And then the winner of that will play Wales. So that's an interesting group for many reasons. Obviously, it feels early thoughts that I saw were U.S. and England, no doubt, getting through. Zero questions in our mind.
Yeah, because that's how things work out in the World Cup all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we remember what it was like. We play the goal call, right, in the intro of Ian Dark, you know, was that against Algeria, I want to say?
Yes.
Right? So we've seen this happen before where the U.S. has a great draw with England in the group, and we think, this will be easy, and then it's not quite. I look at this draw initially and say, going to be a fun matchup against England, that's no doubt. Iran's going to be tougher than I think people think because they're in the top 25 in the world rankings. Yeah. But it's also, there's that whole other thing with Iran going back to the 98 World Cup where you had a lot of political things going on. Mm-hmm. And don't go look up how that game went for the U.S. If you don't remember, it wasn't great. So there's a lot more at stake here and a lot more at play here than just, the U.S. has a better team on paper. Well, England has a better team than all these teams on paper.
Right.
And they've played really well, England, in the last few international tournaments they've been a part of. That doesn't mean anything coming into this thing. We've seen great teams get smacked in the first round and shockingly drop out in 2018. We saw that. We saw it in 2014. So, yeah, it's not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I don't think it is either. But I think all things considered, when you come out the other side of this draw and anticipated what they qualified on Wednesday evening, where they lost to Costa Rica, we talked about that. You're into the World Cup. Then you have the World Cup draw on Friday. I think all things considered, though, you will take this in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
I would think, yes. I mean, you could have a much worse draw, clearly. England and in the U.S. will be the huge matchup that everyone points to.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you have a chance here for the U.S. to, I don't know if I would say this is the most winnable group in the world for the U.S., but you have a chance if you shock England and beat them, then, it very much is a group that is yours for the taking.
And you put the pressure all on England's side of the things, depending on how the first match day has shaken out.
Yeah, indefinitely. And as far as that Wales-Ukraine-Scotland playoff, it's an interesting one there from the standpoint of who that fourth team's going to be. And I don't want to write them off at all. Wales will not be an easy out if they're the team in.
Correct.
Scotland, I don't think, will be that easy either. Plus, let's not forget, Wales and Scotland, if either of them get in, they're going to have the motivation of, we're going up against England and the United States,
yeah.
like two countries England, that they have a lot of history with.
Not very far away from us.
Right.
You know, some share the same peninsula as England do. And then the other side of that coin, you're right, Scotland, what can they do? Because they're starting to come into their heyday of like the best generation of Scottish players.
Yes, yes. They really have started to grow that as well. And then we all know with Ukraine,
yep.
everything that's going on for them off the field, the World Cup is not the biggest thing on their radar right now. But what a story would be if they can win two games, mm-hmm. get into the World Cup. Do you think there would be any team more beloved in the World Cup than
none.
Ukraine after what's gone on in their country? Of course not. I mean, this is such a small gesture that the World Cup could do. I say just let Ukraine in anyway. Like, you're the only one of these countries that's actually fighting a war right now. You should be able to play soccer in the World Cup. If you can get a team together,
let's give you something
we'll
that you can
in.
Look forward to.
Yeah, I say let them in, but anyway, that's not how it works. Ukraine will play Scotland first in a playoff, and then the winner of that will play Wales. And the winner of that will go to the tournament, to
also,
the World Cup.
Also, before we break down this fixture list in what times that the U.S. men's national team is playing, did you watch any of the draw ceremony on Friday?
I did not. I actually that was when I ended up getting a little time to go to the gym, so I got there and then my phone was blowing up with people like texting me about like, let's go, here we go. And I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot. Who did we draw? So I didn't get to see it right away.
So I watched the first 45 minutes, the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
The good stuff in this World Cup draw. Then I had to go pick up Meredith from the airport. So I missed the actual draw itself, but I got all the pregame festivities before the actual draw happened. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I don't need to watch the actual draw. I just want to see the sights and sounds and the great wisdom of Gianni Infantino, right?
Sure.
I mean, so he gets up there and he's talking. And they did some, like, animated short story, which, listen, I felt like I had eaten 2 pounds of magic mushrooms when I'm watching this short story and what they're doing. And they're like going around telling you all the touristy things to do in Qatar and like how this is going to be the future of soccer and growing the game and everything. And there was some like animated figure who was flying around and he looked like a stingray. And I'm just sitting there on my TV again, had not had a beer, had not ingested any legal and or illegal vices. My mind was blown. When I'm sitting there watching that, I'm like, if some stoner is sitting on their couch, she's going to be wondering, like, did I turn it on the World Cup draw or what am I doing? So you get that. You get the release of the new FIFA World Cup song, which nothing will ever top Waving Flag or Shakira's World Cup song for me. and then finally we get to the actual draw. But before that, Gianni Infantino comes up and he's going on this big diatribe of like, this, we know our world has changed. And everybody in the world is not as nice as they once used to be to people. Mm. This is the World Cup for peace. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, do you know what you're saying right now, man? Like, we could have obviously predicted that this was going to happen with Gianni Infantino, giant sleazeball. But you're on a world stage saying this is the World Cup for peace. Meantime, over 6,500 recorded deaths from migrant workers working on the stadiums. Yeah, Gianni, tell me, go ahead on how this is the World Cup for peace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you there is, was he stepping over piles of dead bodies as he was saying these things? I mean, maybe they could have shown like one of those trailers that they put the migrant workers in where they were sleeping. And it was 120 degrees in these trailers, and people were like baking alive in them. Maybe you could have shown those in your world tour, Gianni Infantino. I mean, I didn't watch the pomp and circumstance because here's where to that point. I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah,
here's where I am with the injustices, the horrible nature of FIFA, everything that they are a part of. This World Cup is awash in dirty money, and then
all
clearly.
Of them are.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Most of the world. Hey, where was the last World Cup?
Yeah.
What country did we reward that one? Oh, that's the country currently waging a psychotic war on a neighboring country.
On a sovereign state.
Yeah. That's you rewarded that to Russia. So I'm not saying America's not without its faults. We've had our faults. We've had our problems, certainly.
The one before that was in Brazil, and the whole eco-political landscape of that was a mess.
Right. Yeah, that's... FIFA does not come in and fix your problems. If anything, they exacerbate them, or at the very least, they amplify the people who are corrupt running your government. They amplify their message and allow them to kind of get some cover. Here's where I am with the World Cup. I know that boycotting it, not watching it, whatever, is not going to stop it from happening, mm-hmm. right? I do take joy out of watching the World Cup. It's not even, you know, I'm much less of a person than I was probably three or four World Cups ago about like USA. Like, yeah, I'm from here. I'm rooting for the US. They're my team because you pick a team, right? I am not that person that is hardcore like all the other countries suck. America's the best.
How dare you?
Like, that's just, I don't feel that. I've never really felt that, but I definitely don't feel that anymore. If I felt a little tinge of it occasionally back in the past. What I'm at is this. I love soccer. I love the World Cup. I know that FIFA makes a killing off of anything I do with the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Anything I watch with the World Cup, yeah. They're making the money off people like me deciding to watch it and talk about it and all those things. That all said, I can't separate the good vibes that I get from the community of soccer fans, right? I have the soccer community. That is where I have a group of people that I look forward to hanging out with, and we hang out around soccer. And so I'm not saying that to justify anything. I'm saying that if this game was put on by, I don't know, some low budget third tier promotional company that no one had ever heard of, but it was, hey, it's the US and Mexico and on and on and on, I'd still watch these games because I enjoy the level of soccer that you're getting. It just so happens that FIFA sucks and that they are promoting it. So I'm watching it in the level of I'm going to watch the soccer. Am I going to watch everything else surrounding it? No. Am I going to get too worked up on buying a lot of World Cup merchandise? No. I'm not going to do that, obviously. I mean, there are going to be lines to it. I may go as far as, like, if you advertise on the World Cup, I may say, I don't know if I feel like buying your product. I might buy the competitor. I don't know. But again, that's like me. I'm not going to drink a lot of Budweiser. All right. Yeah, good call. I
Jonathan
don't drink a lot
Smith
of Budweiser
here for
anyway.
Pepsi.
Right. Right. Sadly, I am a Coke Zero guy, so I got to figure that out. Anyway, so just a little aside there. I am of that mindset where, yes, I don't like what FIFA does. I don't care for FIFA at all, and mm-hmm. I think they're entirely corrupt. I also think we can't fully keep an eye on FIFA if we don't pay attention to what's going on.
Right.
And that does include watching this World Cup, even though if you choose not to, I totally understand why, but I'm probably going to watch at least the US games and probably a few others too.
I'll probably watch every game.
Yeah. I mean, so, it sucks,
just
right?
The reality of the situation.
And I guess I would say the same thing of, did you stop? Like, if you play soccer video games, have you stopped playing FIFA?
Right.
Maybe we should.
Are you a PES fan now? Pro Evolution Soccer?
Yeah.
I think it's still a thing. I don't know.
I don't know if it is either. Maybe you've gone on to just the manager. What was that called?
Football manager.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you've gone on to that. I don't know.
Where no games are actually played and all of it's simulated.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Where you just, it's like a spreadsheet, but it's basically a video game.
It's literally a spreadsheet video game.
That's right. All right. So let's talk about the schedule for the Group B, and then we'll get into the other groups and talk about them too.
Okay.
Monday, November 21st, England versus Iran, 8 a.m. That is at Khalifa International Stadium. So Wiz or Mia, whichever cultural reference you're most familiar with, take it and run with it. Go right ahead. I'll leave that to you.
Who's the second? I know Wiz. Who's the other one?
Mia Khalifa?
Yeah, who's that?
I'll go Google her on a work computer. Right. Go Google her on a work computer.
I didn't know. You sounded so confident when you said her, her
name.
If you
are comfortable with either one, whichever one you're comfortable with.
I just wanted you to explain to me who the second person is that you mentioned. I don't know this person.
I was told when I Googled Khalifa, a lot of things came up. I wanted to see where this stadium was, and I got a world tour, buddy. I got a world tour. All right. Also on Monday, November 21st, that is the first game for the U.S. They take on...
Oh, that's who you're talking about.
Whoever the playoff is. They take on whoever the playoff is between Wales, Ukraine, and Scotland. That is a 2 p.m. game, and you will notice a theme with that coming up.
Yeah.
That is at Ahmad bin Ali Stadium, just so you know. Friday, November 25th. So 4 days off to the next game. Makes sense. That's how this always works in the World Cup. The Wales, Ukraine, Scotland winner will take on Iran, 5 a.m. at the same Ahmad bin Ali Stadium. Then Friday, November 25th. Yes, that is the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is,
that
my
is
friend.
Black Friday shopping day. That is the day before the Michigan game.
Yep.
Woo! That is 2 p.m. England and the U.S. at Al Bayt Stadium. So... let's go. Friday at 2 p.m. We had this conversation. I'm going to have to talk to people here.
Yeah, you sure are.
Because you know where I'm going to be on that Friday. I'm going to be at Zaftig. I'm going to be watching the game at
both.
The official soccer bar of Bone and Beam United.
Yeah.
Zaftig Italian Village is where we're going to be.
You have a radio show at 3 o'clock that day.
I do. I don't plan on hosting it because it's going to be in the middle of this game. There's no way.
Ohio State, Michigan, who cares about that?
I have to probably take off that Monday, this Friday, and then the Tuesday game as well because they're all 2 p.m. games. The U.S. plays Iran 2 p.m. November 29th. That is at Al Thumama Stadium. Yes, mm-hmm. Al Thumama.
Yeah, nailed it.
Also November 25th, that is the Wales-Ukraine-Scotland winner versus England. I can't wait for that playoff to get done so we can just say whoever the team is instead of this playoff thing.
Right.
That is also, of course, at 2 p.m. All the games have to be at the same time in the group just so that there's no chicanery going on at the end of that. So overall, pretty nice draw. Now you know the dates you need to take off from work if you're not lucky enough to work from home.
Work in the morning.
That's true. You get to do that. You're fine. Wouldn't it suck if your workplace had been work from home for like the last 2 years and then maybe they're like, all right, October 30th, we're going to go right. Or something like sometime around
the
next
Friday
fall.
After the week of Thanksgiving, let's give this a test run.
Yeah. They're like, we're going to go back to the office. And you're like, No, I'm not.
I'm opting out of work that week.
Yeah. Yeah. I obviously want to be on the air to talk about these things, but I don't want to I'm not missing these games. Like that's not happening. Sorry, work. That's not
works for my work schmucks, is, anyways.
My work is fun. We have a fun job,
right?
But it's not
Why
as fun
you guys
as
do the show. I was gonna say do the show do you, live from Zaftig.
They
but
don't
no,
let you go on the air when you're drunk. I don't know if you know that.
That and then your co-host doesn't really like to leave his house or the radio station.
No,
so
he won't
want to
be there.
No.
And then at 3 o'clock, the game will still be going on. So it'll be like, Bone, what do you think about what are the Lions gonna do this weekend?
Ah!
And I'm just like, just yelling at the TV. And so that won't work. All right, so let's run through the other groups really quickly. Group A, Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal, and the Netherlands. Seems like a pretty nice group there for the Netherlands, I would think.
That's navigable.
Yeah, I would think so, very much so. But yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting one there. I've seen some people picking Qatar to get through. I would be shocked by that.
I don't know if I can get there.
I would think Ecuador and Senegal would be much tougher.
I mean, Senegal are the reigning African champions and just beat Egypt in a playoff. Again, whole laser pointer debate aside.
Yeah, laser pointer aside, right.
I mean, they are a damn good international team. So, no, I can't see Qatar making it through.
No.
But you're 1,000% correct in that assessment. Netherlands and or Senegal are going to have something to say about that.
Yeah. Group C, because we already talked Group B, obviously, that's the U.S. group. Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and Poland.
Ooh.
That's a crazy interesting group to me because Mexico of old, I would have said, favored to get through. Mexico, what they end up being now, I don't know what to make of them. They're this weird mix of like old dudes, guys still hanging on, mm-hmm. young guys who are better but have never fully blossomed the way we thought they would. They're just an odd mix. They're not... Like, at least with the U.S., you can say a lot of the growing pains that have happened with U.S. soccer have been the young guys weren't ready yet, and there were, like, a missing hole of a generation that didn't really pan out. That old generation's mostly pushed through now, and it's all the young guys coming forward and learning and growing. Mexico's on the opposite side of that, where they've got some of the older guys still there, but their young talent is not
pushing through kind of the wall, right?
Not the way I expected them to, at least. Not that I think they suck by any stretch.
Yeah.
I think they could easily come out of this group. Argentina, obviously, is the favorite to advance.
I think they haven't lost an international game in like 32 straight games or 34 straight games, something with Argentina. I know we don't pay much attention
to
Central America and what they do over there in CONMEBOL, but one of the best teams that you are going to find in the international landscape. They always seem to get deep into any tournament. Remember last World Cup, they got beat by France where Kylian Mbappe was running like 100 miles an hour down the field. Benjamin Pavard with one of the best goals that you'll ever see. Left-footed, rise ball. So they were close, knocking on the doorstep of the last World Cup to getting back to the final.
Yeah, they were. And just for what it's worth, Argentina is South America, not Central.
What did I say?
You said Central. I know you meant South America. I just wanted to clarify so we don't get emails. People like, don't you know we're Argentina? Yes, we do. In Poland.
Thought they were in Europe.
Well, their players are for the most part.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Poland, the fourth team there, that's what makes this group interesting for me is what do you get out of, I mean, again, very old but very talented Robert Lewandowski and that Polish side.
Right.
I mean, as he goes, I tend to think so goes Poland.
No doubt.
And you could easily see him testing Mexico's back line and making their lives hell. And then I don't mean to besmirch Saudi Arabia, but I would think Poland and Mexico are a level up from them. And so it's a dogfight between Mexico and Poland, I would think, to see who gets that second spot.
Yeah, I'm not tossing Saudi Arabia out the window here when projecting. I don't like their chances in this group.
No, no.
Sorry to go out on a limb there. I'm sure all the experts will have something to combat that theory.
If you do want to watch, let's say, Mexico-Poland, that is Tuesday, November 22nd at 11 a.m. That is a fine lunchtime.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even have to skip work to watch it. Just take a long lunch, get into work a little early or whatever your job allows you to do. But 11 a.m., Mexico-Poland, that should be fun. That'll be like one of the key matches in this
group,
obviously.
And it's one of the first games, right?
Yeah, it's that Tuesday, November 22nd, right. Then the Argentina-Mexico game is Saturday, November 26th at 2 p.m. So two TVs. You might need that with the OSU-Michigan game going on if you're a Buckeye fan. Neighbor Eric is like, I'll just be watching one TV with Argentina and Mexico on it.
Who gives a shit about Ohio State-Michigan?
That's exactly what
he'll
say.
Maybe Jim Tressman is still coaching the Buckeyes. Who, Eric? Jim Tressman. You mean Tressel. He's been fired for over 10 years.
I don't know. The Poland-Argentina game could matter. On Wednesday, November 30th, same with the Saudi Arabia-Mexico game. Like, they could very much be important games for both Mexico and Poland, or could be largely irrelevant by that point if Poland, let's say, dominates Mexico or something and, you know, then obviously holds their business against Saudi Arabia. That might be a moot point, but we'll find out. Anyway, interesting group there in Group C. Group D has another playoff spot in it, but the three teams we know, France, Denmark, and Tunisia, are in that one. The Intercontinental Playoff is between Peru. Well, first, it's Australia versus the UAE.
Yeah.
So our guy Milos Degnik from the Crew, he's got some work to do. He's got to go into that playoff in the UAE. Then the winner of that takes on Peru. So tough to figure out which of those teams will make it through
tough
at this
point.
Tough
task for the Socceroos to get through.
Certainly. Certainly going to be tough for them. But out of this group, France obviously feels, I would think, very strong in this group.
How about the story, too, of Christian Eriksen back for Denmark,
I know,
too?
Man.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, playing for with Brentford, right? That's who he ended up with, right? And did I see that he scored
for Denmark.
Yes.
He scored for Denmark.
That's right. Okay.
Yep.
What a good story. I hope that works, that he gets to play. And
remember, they're running the Euros last summer as well.
Oh, yeah, of course, man. They were another one of those great feel-good stories after all that happened, and they still made that huge run. Yeah, tremendous story. So Denmark, France, obviously the favorites there, but don't sleep on Tunisia, because those teams, as they come out of Africa, they're not afraid of anyone. And that's such a tough continent to qualify from. And some of the games that are played there, as we talked about, right?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a qualifying game, right? Or no, it was.
That was the qualifying
game. Yeah, right. That was
the game
for the Egypt-Senegal, right. But just how tough it is to win in that space. I mean, I'm not going to sleep on any team coming out of Africa, I guess is what I'm saying. I think sometimes people undersell that continent just because people don't watch as much soccer there. That's your fault. I mean, if you watch it, you know it's a great nation for soccer. So I blame you if that's happening. Now we see Group E, Spain, Germany, Japan. That alone would make this a Grupo death for me. That's a tough group. Then your fourth team is the winner of Costa Rica, New Zealand, Good to know if we had somehow let Costa Rica get the differential, or if the U.S. had ended up in that playoff spot, holy cow, you would have go beat New Zealand and then go play Spain, Germany, and Japan. Good luck with all of that. So I don't know. Who do you like out of this group? Obviously, I would tend to think Spain is your number one team coming out of this, but maybe not. Maybe you like Germany more.
Yeah, I think it all depends, right? I think a lot of the people will flock to both those nations and say, well, Spain, Germany, those are going to be the two that get through. Like, I don't know, man. Japan is pretty damn good. That's already going to be a tough team to play, let alone Germany and Spain. Then you add in the fourth team between New Zealand and Costa Rica. I like Germany to advance in this, and we'll see if the Spaniards can come back to kind of the class that we've seen them from a decade or so ago, because they have not been great in the last couple of world tournaments. So we'll see what happens with Spain. I, like Germany, tend to believe they've got some new blood into their system as well. So they're kind of going through the same thing where they're working in new players. Of course, you still have some of the old guard still there from Germany. But as some of their youth players start to come up now and are put on the national stage, we'll see. Spain is kind of going through the same thing with Pedri. He played like 9,000 minutes last summer for the Spanish national team, and he was only 18 years old at the time. Dani Olmo as well, another player to watch for them. I like these two. I know it's going to sound cliche. They're the two best that we have. I would not be surprised, though, to see Japan make it through. Whoever's going to be added in after the playoff between New Zealand and Costa Rica, mighty tall task.
Yeah, I don't think that's a team that's going to factor. I watch us be wrong, and that'll be one of the two teams that makes it out of this, but let me say this for Japan. If you were going to pick a way for them to go through in this group, because Japan, I think, is getting slept on a little bit in the way people are talking about this group, with Spain and Germany being the marquee matchup, which, by the way, they play each other Sunday, November 27th at 2 p.m. at Albite Stadium. That will be
all of these games are appointment viewing.
But, I know. But those, but if you're someone who is more of a casual world soccer fan, and you're like, well, I want to watch
Germany, Spain. That seems like a good one.
That's one, of course, that's going to be huge. But look at how Japan's tournament sets up. If you're in this tough group, right, you're going to have to play a big dog probably to start off. That might actually work in their favor, because teams like Germany, teams like Spain, who have their eyes on not just getting out of their group, but going really far in this tournament,
right,
they're hoping to build up and not just come out playing like the craziest soccer they've been playing. You know what I mean? That's not usually the formula you need to go all the way in the World Cup. You need to be a team that is playing well to start, can't stumble a ton, but if you have your worst game early, that's not usually a shock, right? Usually the best teams in the World Cup, go figure, are playing their best later in the tournament. So perhaps Japan ekes out like a draw with Germany, or even beats them in that early game, because maybe Germany's just a little, they're a step off. Japan is playing up.
Feeling each other out.
Yeah, could be that, right? Then they get the second game is the Costa Rica-New Zealand play-in game, which Japan is a better team, but perhaps that game is even, maybe that game ends up being tougher, because those teams, then they're like, that's our one game we know,
right,
whichever one of them gets in.
And we've seen that before. Sometimes you press so much, the pressure's on, and you can't put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, but if they could get results in the first two, then yes, they play Spain at the end, right, Thursday, December 1st, but I feel like there's a really good chance Japan goes out of this group, and then one of Spain, Germany is obviously eliminated. But like, I feel like Japan has a really good shot to get out of this. I know that people are writing them off, but I wouldn't do that. I think Japan can definitely make some noise in this tournament.
And going back to their qualifying, their last loss that they had was actually in October of last year.
Because
then they beat Australia two times in a row. And then moving forward, the last game that they played, which was just last week, and a game that was pretty inconsequential to them because they had already clinched when they beat Australia 2-0, they drew Japan. So they have not lost a game since October 7th of 2021.
Japan drew Japan?
What did I say?
You said they drew Japan. I'm still trying to figure out who they played.
Vietnam, sorry.
Oh, okay, Vietnam. There you go. All right, there we go. Yeah, Vietnam and Japan drew. Got it.
All right. Japan drew Japan, and Argentina's in Central America. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Hey, we'll get there. We got 7 months till we got to get this all straight. We're good. Group F, that is an interesting one as well. They're I don't know.
Canada got jobbed
here.
They're all
interesting. Well, that's what I was going to get to, because so you've got Belgium. Could always make a case Belgium is one of the top five teams in the world, top three teams in the world.
Could make a case that they're the best team
in the
world.
Yeah, you absolutely could. Morocco is no slouch, and Croatia. Canada has to go through Croatia and Belgium, and then a Moroccan team that's not going to just lay down and quit. I mean, that's Canada has improved immensely and done tremendous strides for that team and that country.
Here's your reward.
One of the tougher groups you're going to ever see.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Croatia, they were in the World Cup final last time around 4 years ago as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Belgium,
I know they're a different team now.
Well, all these teams are, right? Even France is a different team,
right,
but we still look at France as one of the favorites to go all the way in this tournament. I mean, yeah. Belgium, Croatia, Canada, Morocco.
They got jobbed. I'd much rather have the U.S.'s draw than that draw.
Oh, for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah, you'd take that in a heartbeat. So some of the key matchups from this one, just to kind of mark your calendars for if you want to watch them. If you want to just watch the Canadian team, Belgium, Canada, that's 2 p.m. Wednesday, November 23rd. Croatia, Canada is Sunday, November 27th at 11 a.m. And then Thursday, December 1st, both games are going to be at 10 a.m. Croatia, Belgium, which will be, again, possibly for a lot, or possibly those two teams took care of business with everybody else, and they just kind of kicked the ball back and forth for an hour and a half. Canada, Morocco, 10 a.m. So if Canada struggles and doesn't get the results they're looking for in Belgium and Croatia, then they get to go play Morocco for like bragging rights. Right. Where Morocco probably, that's no good. That's no good for Canada. Bad draw. Watch them win the group now that we've put this on it. Like, poor Canada.
But good for them.
That would be great if they did. I don't think they will. All right. Group G, that is the one with the presumptive favorite going into this tournament. A lot of the bookmakers have Brazil as your favorites in this tournament. This group has Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon. Feels like a bunch. Now, not going to pretend like I've got all their rosters memorized. Feels like a group of teams that are basically, it's Brazil and then anybody
three
else,
teams.
Anybody's game.
Yeah.
Right. So this seems like for those groups, if you had to draw a group with Brazil, if you're Switzerland or Serbia or Cameroon, you'd say, all right, well, other than Brazil, this is a pretty nice group for us. We feel kind of even with all these other teams.
Yeah, absolutely you do. And like you said, Brazil, the odds-on favorite to win the World Cup. Now, getting to that point and navigating your way through the tournament is a whole lot different than being the favorites heading in. I'll remember what happened 4 years ago. Brazil, mighty disappointment. So I'm with you on that. Don't sleep on Serbia. Don't do that because they are very talented. Again, going through the system, they have a lot of players who have played a lot of games for Serbia. You're not in the World Cup by mistake. So if we're forecasting this, and I know we'll do that plenty of down the road
when we
actually get there. But for my money, it would be Brazil, Serbia, 1-2 combo platter coming out of that one.
Yeah, I don't think that's wrong. But I also just, I'm saying Switzerland and Cameroon strike me as tougher outs than most might.
But you're right. If
you were one of those teams,
and
you'd say,
okay, well, Brazil's going to be through. The other three teams battling it out have equal footing to get that second spot.
Yeah. But I think you're right. Serbia is the on paper better of the three, but we know what on paper means in the World Cup, and that's not much. Yeah. Group H here, Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, and South Korea. So, yeah, that's an equally difficult group, too, I would say. Kind of similar to the Brazil group, though I don't think Portugal is nearly as strong as Brazil. They're a good team, very good team.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think they are, one of the weaker one seeds or whatever we're calling that pot that they came out of.
Could
be
Cristiano Ronaldo's last international tournament as well.
Very well could be. Right. But I think that also shapes up as a bunch of teams that all could just beat up on each other. Mm-hmm. And it could be one of those where like 5 points wins the group, or like a couple draws and then a win and you're through. Like that's pretty much, I could see that happening for any of those teams. But yeah, obviously Ghana and Portugal would be the favorites to get out of that one, I would think. But Uruguay's always tough. South Korea, not exactly like an easy team to play against. So, yeah, there's your matchups there of your all your group stages that you have.
What are you? What are your expectations now with the draw for the U.S.? Get through the knockout and then see what happens. That's mine.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset that if you, I don't accept them not getting out of the group stage like that. You have to be able to get out of the group stage, get to the round of 16. I'm looking at the draw of the round of 16.
Yeah.
So
it's not bad.
It's whoever is. So it's the inverse of whatever you do in group B is who you're going to play in group A.
So if you finish second in group B, you get the winner of group A. If you finish first in group B, you get the second place team in group A. And that group A team that we're talking about are the teams that are in group A again, are Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal, and the Netherlands.
Yeah. I don't think those are teams that are going to make the U.S. go, oh, God, no, we can't beat them. So if you can get through the I don't want to even say if.
No,
they should be able to get through the group and then go to the next round. That round of 16 matchup should be favorable to the U.S., assuming good health and all the players are available and all those things, right? We don't know how that's going to go. You get through that, then I think that ends up, you know, you are, there's no way you're going to go through a World Cup and not play a couple bangers of teams that you're going to have to get to. But you may get to, other than England, you may get to, you know, the quarterfinals before you play like a real top five, top six team. And I'm sorry to the Netherlands. Like, I just don't think they are up in that stratosphere. They're still excellent, still very good. If that's who the U.S. ends up playing, I don't want to count chickens before they hatch, but yeah, that strikes me as the type of setup that looks a lot like 2002, man. 2002 for me was a setup where the U.S. had a group, I think, tougher on balance than what this group presents. But they got into that group, were able to make their way through pretty easily, mm-hmm. got to the round of 16, moved forward, and then faced a Germany team that was ended up being the champs that year, if I'm not mistaken.
So you get C or D, correct, if we're projecting into into the quarterfinals? You would get C or D, or I'm having an aneurysm.
I know, it's hard to do all that math, but just out of the C or D groups, again, that would be like a France or Denmark, perhaps, from Group C. From Group D, rather. Group C is going to be
Argentina, Mexico, Poland, Saudi Arabia.
Imagine. Okay, so there, it's theoretically possible.
I know exactly.
Theoretically
where you're
possible.
Going.
You can play Mexico in a quarterfinal for the World Cup.
It's also theoretically possible that you can play Lionel Messi in a World Cup game.
It is theoretically possible. You could.
It's also theoretically possible that you'll get 0 points and go crashing out of the tournament.
Yeah, that's a harrowing thought. So, all right, just know this. Lots of plans coming up for this podcast during the World Cup. We'll announce this. We are going to do, because we kind of previewed things a little bit there, but mm-hmm. don't worry. We got 7 months until this tournament. There's going to be different, you know, players going in and out of form. There's going to be, you know, different situations for some of these players that they're going to be dealing with, injuries, all these other things. We are going to do actual group by group breakdowns.
Yeah.
We will do like a separate podcast for each one of these groups before the World Cup. And we'll do them all kind of close to the World Cup, so we'll get the best version of what these teams look like.
We got 7 months to prepare.
Yeah, and then throw it all out the week before we do the podcast, because half the guys get hurt or right. One team has like, oh yeah, all these guys, there's a big scandal and they're not in. And
by the
whatever.
Way, too, it's going to be interesting. Here's another note about this November World Cup is that club teams are only releasing players a week before the World Cup starts. Mm. So remember, all these other World Cups, international tournaments, you usually get like a 2 or 3 week lead-in to this. Guys are going to be leaving their clubs a week before the World Cup starts.
Crazy.
That means Christian Pulisic, who plays at Chelsea, could not be on the roster next year. Anyways, that's all theoretically possible in this world that we're living in. We'll leave Chelsea, and so will all of the Chelsea players that play for international teams, literally 7 days before the World Cup starts in Qatar.
Yeah. I think I'll say this, a storyline along those points for the U.S. is goalkeeping.
Yeah.
You have potentially, if Stefan doesn't get loaned out this summer, mm-hmm. and Matt Turner going to Arsenal, you have a potential for both your starting goalkeepers or the guys who would be in the mix to start at goalkeeper, both of them potentially sitting the bench for a Premier League side.
Not
next
seeing
year.
Any minutes.
And being very out of form by that time that they get called in. So I really hope Stefan gets loaned out this summer at the very least. I don't blame Matt Turner. I don't think he's going to get loaned out right away. I'm sure they'll want to have him on the roster. But, yeah, I do
or
hope
Zach Stefan just beats out Ederson as their goalie.
That'd be cool. He's not there right now.
This is all theoretical, Bo.
It is all theoretical. And this is not theoretical. One last thing before we take a break. Robert Lewandowski, transfer news?
Yeah.
Did you have that? Is that correct that this happened?
So he is, I think he's out of a contract, wants to move somewhere else. And so they're trying to get this deal done before his deal runs out at Bayern Munich. So Barcelona is very interested in bringing him in. Duh, he's Robert Lewandowski. He is one of the best strikers on planet Earth when he's on his day. Apparently, Bayern Munich have no problems with Lewandowski leaving the club. But the player that they want back in return for Lewandowski leaving is one Sergiño Dest from Barcelona.
Wow. That'd be quite a thing. I mean, I don't think that's Nice.
You're going from one of the biggest clubs in the world to another one of the biggest clubs in the world. But still, at the same time, we talk about this play versus no play thing, form heading into the World Cup.
Well, this is it, right. It's hard to preview what these teams are going to look like. Because, for example, Serginho Dest currently is injured, as we know. That's why he didn't participate in any of the, you know, qualification games of recent vintage. But that's just it. He could be playing at a world-class level by the time we get to the World Cup. Or he could be seeing, you know, spotty minutes, depending on if he transfers out somewhere else.
Just two CONCACAF dudes rolling the back line for Bayern Munich. Great with that be. Alfonso Davies and Serginho Dest.
Yeah, right? That'd be pretty awesome.
Two starters in Bavaria. I know they use, you know, Davies is a more of a left-wing hybrid.
Yeah.
Basically, Alfonso, go cover the whole field.
Go cover the entire left side of the field. Shut it down. And he does. We'll take a break when we come back. The crew played a game, and it was a thing. Talk about that next. It's Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaptec Italian Village. Welcome back to Bone and Beam United. So both of us ended up at the crew game at Lower.com Field this past weekend as they took on Nashville, which more on the game in a second. But nice moment there as they honored Federico Higuain. He retired officially as a member of the crew, signed his contract, and then promptly retired. Family was there. They gave him a number 10 jersey framed, which was very cool. I did see that Dr. Pete Edwards was there. No sign of the Haslams, which probably makes sense given the little bit of
all the shit that they're in.
They are a little bit of it. I saw also, did you see that Nordeca was holding up?
I mean, that's where we were sitting.
I
couldn't see because we were we got there right as Pippa was getting introduced.
Yeah.
So we jaunted all the way up to the corner of the Nordeca where we were sitting.
Okay, sure.
I saw the signs. I couldn't read them until I got home, and then I saw what they said on Twitter. I got the vibe, the general vibe.
Yeah.
But yes.
They held up 22 signs to say, I believe Jane Doe, number one, number two, et cetera, in the 23rd minute of the game. And all that was in relation to the Deshaun Watson signing by the group that owns the crew. So good for the Nordeca. I love the fact that they have a banner up in the Nordeca that just says protect trans kids. Like, they're not afraid to put it out there. And I'm glad that, at the very least, I'm glad the club has been, you know, shamed into not trying to silence people in that regard. I also saw, like, I don't know if along those same lines, did you see the Portland Timbers, the woman who sings the national anthem for them? They've had some issues with their NWSL team and with, you know, Merritt Paulson, the owner. Like,
I have seen the Merritt Paulsons.
Right. So I can't remember what the slogan is she had on her shirt, but it was something more or less about, like, you know, time's up or something like that. I cannot remember what her shirt said, but it was a bright red shirt, unmistakably part of this protest. And apparently the Portland Timbers people tried to get her to not wear it as she sang the national anthem. But she said, I don't care. This is what I'm wearing. I'm going out there. And if you don't like it, fix the problems in your front office. Don't
said you knew.
You knew. That's what it was. Yeah. Right. So saying they knew about all this and did nothing. And that's, it's powerful, man. It's good to see people standing up and fighting for what's right, even as we do enjoy these games and watching all that. Obviously, the focus of the match, though, in the pre-match part was Federico Higuain. I love the TIFO that they did. You know, that Take a Bow Maestro was really well done. It's awesome to see that rigging system working. And I don't know, man. I thought the crowd was pretty hot for everything going on that day. I mean, it was a pretty packed house. I don't know if it was.
I think it was a sellout.
Was it officially sellout?
I think
okay,
it
looked pretty.
I was too drunk to hear
sitting.
The PA announcer by the time that they announced that, but I'm pretty sure it was a sellout.
All right, yeah, and it makes sense, right? People coming out to support PIPA, and I think that's good. People loving PIPA, right? That's what we want.
Also, Morgan Hughes got booed when he was announcing the jumbotron.
By me,
so that was good.
I was booing him. That was me yelling "boo" very loudly.
I heard you from like 400 yards away.
Good, because I was aiming it at him. I was trying to get. I saw him. Everybody was like pointing at him, and I was just like, oh, there he is, and I booed him. And then my kids were like, why are you booing? And I was like, never mind. He's just friend.
Duncan Otten, here's Morgan Hughes.
Yeah.
Cheer one, boo the other.
I'm just, no, it's, Morgan's great. Just love to boo him to give him a little, you know, self-esteem knockdown. That's what he needs, it seems like. Now, so anyway, that was a good day over at the, as far as at the LDC for the celebration of PIPA, not a good day as far as the actual soccer on the field. That was look, Nashville came in and they said, we know the Crew aren't that great at scoring when you give them chances around the 18. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give them a bunch of chances around the 18 because we don't think they're going to finish.
And they didn't.
No. And it's a good game plan. They did not have Walker Zimmerman to start the game. He obviously came in later in the game, was able to get out there after, you know, playing quite a few minutes for the U.S. Mm-hmm. over the last few weeks. So he got back out in the second half, and good to see him out there as far as U.S. team is concerned. But didn't have him going to start. Didn't have Dax McCarty, who's one of the league's pests that has always been one of their trashiest players. He had, I think, either a red card, a yellow card, or something. He was out because of suspension. Anyway, so that's the team that you should have been able to break down defensively. The Crew offense should have been better. I feel like they got out-tacticked. Is that the right word?
Sure.
Yeah. I feel like Caleb Porter got out-coached a little bit there. And I mean, obviously, it's on the guys in the field to finish their chances, right? But
they had a good amount. I will say this. The Crew did have a good amount of chances that they just couldn't put away. I thought the goal by Nashville came totally against the run of play. It was just kind of out of nowhere. There were some bad defensive mishaps, and you can't allow a free runner to come in.
No.
And that's unfortunately what cost them. I thought for sure the Crew were going to get a goal. I mean, there for, what was it, 15, 20 minutes, I think, in the second half, like, Lower.com Field was rocking. Like,
oh,
the
yeah.
place was going to explode if they would have scored a goal. Maybe the first goal gets you another one to get you a winner. But unfortunately, they could not do anything about it. Also thought the refs sucked.
Oh, I did too, man. The center referee was in way over his head. I looked at my dad because I took my dad to the game and said, if this was the guy's first game reffing in MLS, it would not shock me. I have not looked up. I don't know if this guy's a 10-year vet or whatever. I didn't immediately recognize him and like, oh, there's Jair Marufo. I know who that is. And I didn't see. No, I do recognize a few of these refs over the years, but I didn't immediately recognize this guy. Maybe I
should
have.
There's Bo Borofsky.
Yeah, right. Okay. But overall, one of the only like calls I saw that we got was from one of the side judges. She like waved her flag once and actually called something that had been going on all day. Yeah. And I'm like, well, thank God she's calling something
right.
if the center ref's not going to call it. But yeah, it felt like it was a very physical game. They were letting the play go.
And we don't do that this much on the show. So this is kind of new to us.
No, I mean, I don't mind that it was a physical game. I wish that it felt like there's physicality and then there's just out and out, like tripping guys in the box
yeah.
and it not getting called.
Right.
There's two hands in the back and it not getting called. And I feel like that was going on a little bit more towards the black and gold than the whatever they call themselves down in Nashville. But yeah, it was overall a disappointing effort from the team. Not the finishing you want around the net.
Mm-hmm.
And that still remains a problem for this team. I do know there are some people who think Pedro Santos is not getting it done defensively. Or maybe Miloš Degnik is a little bit out of his depth right now.
Again, we said that at the beginning of the season, too. When he comes in here, it's going to take some time to get used to how this game is played here.
It is. And I feel like those are not invalid. Like, it's not all just one problem, right? But the main problem to me is this team, other than Lucas Zelarayán doing Lucas Zelarayán things.
When he got that free kick, by the way,
oh,
on the
yeah.
south end of the stadium, I looked at the people who were sitting with him like, it's a 1-1 game.
Yeah.
This is just what it's going to be. It's a 1-1 game.
And he looked at it like, I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah.
It was not a thing of like, oh, that was so close. It was like his face said, I can't believe that didn't go in. And looking at the replay of it, and we were in the corner, the opposite corner, so I got a decent little angle on it.
We were in Nordic.
Yeah, I mean, you could see like he had the keeper well beat if he puts it where he normally does. He just couldn't. It just
was like 4 feet outside of the post.
Yeah. It just, he missed it. By his standards, quite badly.
By an ocean, probably.
Right, for what he's actually known for doing, right? And so, yeah, it's too bad because that's one that probably makes that a 1-1 game. And maybe it ends that way and you luck out with a point that you don't deserve. But they had 7 or 8 chances that just seemed like they went over the bar. And Lucas had 3 or 4 of them, right, where he's in the box, the ball falls to him, and he puts it over the net. And, I mean, they're tough to finish, but he's paid to finish tough shots like that. But I don't put it on him. I put it on everyone else around him who's paid to score goals. All right, so last thing we'll do, and then we'll get out of here. 538 does these rankings of clubs around the world. So you have the every club, right? It goes to the Premier League down to whatever league you want to talk about, including MLS.
I forget how many total clubs. There's like 670 clubs or something on this list, and I didn't even know.
640, yes.
Oh, so I overshot it.
Soccer. This is the Soccer Power Index is what they're calling
it. Yeah, the good old SPI.
Yep. So this is what we have now, top 10 currently as it sits. Manchester City, number one.
Shocking.
Bayern Munich, number two.
Shocking.
Liverpool, number three. Mm-hmm. Barcelona is a little bit shocking that they're number four. Good for them, because we've talked about their struggles. I mean, good for them in the sense of, wow, I guess they aren't as bad as we thought, given all the finances and everything else.
Oh, and now they're going to bring in Robert Lewandowski, too.
Right.
I thought
right.
you were financially unable to do that.
Well, now that that's all fixed. They waved a magic financial wand over it, and it's all they're too big to fail, Beamer. I don't know if you know that. Chelsea is fifth. Ajax is sixth.
All right.
Which, I mean, I knew they were
Eric
always.
Ten Hag taking a step down, taking the Manchester United job.
Yeah,
great.
Right.
Good job out of him.
I always knew Ajax is, you know, a Champions League team and one of the, you know, best teams in Europe that's not in the big four. But, yeah, getting up to sixth in these rankings, pretty interesting. Real Madrid, 7. RB Leipzig, 8. PSG, 9. And number 10, Arsenal, dropping a spot, actually. But they've been obviously much better this year and building on things there. Then you have to go quite a ways. Number 17, like you mentioned, was your guys, mm-hmm. Manchester United. So
they're awesome. They're in seventh place too, by the way, in the Premier League.
Yeah, they've it's not been going well for old man you.
Yeah, who cares? They've had plenty of success.
Well, you care. That's,
I do
that's why
care.
We bring it up.
I'm trying to just pass it off as it's nothing, and I don't really care.
It's
though.
Nothing. Don't care at all. Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. I wanted to see where the crew stacked up in this, and I believe they are in the. Like high 200s, so meaning close to the 100s.
I had to control F it on the page.
Yeah. So they are, and I have to, the other problem is I always look for them with the wrong logo because mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't see, oh, there's the dumb logo. 208. So plus 11 spots. That's pretty good.
That's the top one third of the clubs in all the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I'd say you're doing all right there. Now they are listed, what would that be? 9 spots behind New York Red Bulls, who's another one of the top MLS clubs.
Who are ranked 4th. The crew are ranked 5th of all MLS teams.
Okay. Philadelphia is then 3rd in MLS at 193. I'm trying to see where the other two, do you have the other two?
I think it was
MLS
LAFC
clubs?
Was number one.
And NYCFC is 156. That probably makes them the 2nd.
Yes.
Team in MLS, correct? Okay. So, yeah, there you go. Those are the MLS clubs. Anything else you want to bring out from this?
FC Cincinnati was dead last in Major League Soccer.
That's not a shock.
So we had that going. And then I also saw they were 2 spots ahead of Sunderland. So FC Cincinnati better than your Black Cats of Sunderland.
There you go. Well, hey, you know what? I'll give them credit for that. That is
Sunderland's beating the shit out of them, too, by the way, if they played a match today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close.
That's not even, yeah, right. I mean, you can talk about global rankings and this and that and the other and relative strength, but put them on the field together, it's not even close. By the way, where is, where did you say they are as far as the total rankings? What numbers were they?
FC Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I don't
know. Were they in the 500s? Or
400s.
400s, okay.
They were in the 400s. I don't know. I sent it to you in an email. I'm not looking at the email anymore.
Brother Bones team, Peterborough United,
mm-hmm.
505.
Okay.
That's pretty low. I'm shocked. That's a championship team. That's bad.
That's not good.
That's real bad.
FC Cincinnati, 474th globally.
Oh, Peterborough would smack the shit out of FC Cincinnati. What are we talking about?
Just played a pretty damn tough game against Manchester City.
Peterborough would Will Smith FC Cincinnati's Chris Rock. That's what I'm saying. And that's my commentary on
Keep
that.
Keep Peterborough's name out your mouth. What is a Peterborough? Bad guys. There's like 6 people that get that reference.
Bad guys. Bad guys.
These guys are bad.
These are bad guys. Oh, yeah. All right. That's it for us. Enjoy all the soccer. We're back to somewhat of like a normal schedule. And if you haven't noticed, we're just doing all the crew and world stuff all together.
We got enough messages that said this new format sucks.
Yeah, we heard from you. We've gone back. That's fine. We're good with it. We wanted to try something new, and it didn't work. And so we admit that, and then we're moving forward. So thanks to all of you who have listened and given us the feedback. We do appreciate it. You can let us know what you think of the show at BoneBeamUnited on Twitter, and make sure you subscribe and follow the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We will see you next week. Thanks again to Zaftig Italian Village and them too. Zaftig Italian Village. I almost said Zaftig Italian Brewing. I don't think that's right. They do brew beer, but it's Zaftig Italian Village.
All Negronis all the time.
There you go.
Or Peronis.
Yep, that's right. We'll see you next time on Bone and Beam United.